The night feels shredded as I leave the city, through perforated mist, a crumbling September sky. Behind me, Potrero Hill is a stretch of dead beach, all of San Francisco unconscious or oblivious. Above the cloud line, an eerie yellow sphere is rising. It's the moon, gigantic and overstuffed, the color of lemonade. I can't stop watching it roll higher and higher, saturated with brightness, like a wound, or like a door lit entirely by pain. No one is coming to save me. No one can save anyone, though once I believed differently. I believed all sorts of things, but now I see the only way forward is to begin with nothing, or whatever is less than nothing. I have myself and no one else. I have the road and the snaking mist. I have this tortured moon. I drive until I stop seeing familiar landmarks, stop looking in my rearview to see if someone is following me. In Santa Rosa, the travel lodge is tucked behind a superstore parking lot, the whole swath of it empty and overlit, like a swimming pool at night with no one in it. When I ring the bell, the night manager makes a noise from a back room and then comes out cheerfully, wiping her hands on her bright cotton dress. "How are you?" she asks. The world's most innocuous question, impossible to answer. "Fine." She holds out the registration card and a purple pen, the dimpled flesh under her arm unfurling like a wing. I feel her looking at my face, my hair. She watches my hands, reading upside down. "Ana Louise Hart, that's sure a pretty name." "What?" "Don't you think so, baby?" Her voice has the Caribbean in it, a rich, warm slant that makes me think she calls everyone baby, even me. It's hard work not to flinch at her kindness, to stand in the greenish cast of the fluorescent bulb and write down the number of my license plate. To talk to her as if we're just any two people anywhere, carrying on without a single sorrow. She finally gives me my key and I go to my room, shutting the door behind me with relief. Inside, there's a bed and a lamp and one of those oddly placed chairs no one ever sits in. Bad lighting flattens everything into dull rectangles, the tasteless carpet and plastic-looking bedspread, the curtains missing their hooks. I set down my duffel in the center of the bed, take out my Glock 19 and tuck it under the stiff pillow, feeling reassured to have it nearby, as if it's an old friend of mine. I suppose it is. Then I grab a change of clothes and start the shower, taking care to avoid the mirror as I undress, except to look at my breasts, which have hardened into stones. The right is hot to the touch, with a blistered red mound surrounding the nipple. I run the water in the shower as hot as it will go and stand there, being burned alive, with no relief at all. When I climb out, dripping, I hold a washcloth under the faucet before microwaving it, sodden, until it smokes. The heat feels volcanic as I press it hard against myself, singeing my hands as I bend double over the toilet bowl, still naked. The loose flesh around my waist feels as rubbery and soft against my arms as a deflated life raft. With wet hair, I walk to the all-night drugstore, buying Ace bandages and a breast pump, Ziploc bags, and a 40-ounce bottle of Mexican beer. They only have a hand pump in stock, awkward and time-consuming. Back in my room, the heavy, outmoded television throws splayed shadows on the bare wall. I pump with the sound off on a Spanish soap opera, trying to distract myself from the ache of the suction. The actors make exaggerated movements and faces, confessing things to one another while I labor on one breast and then the other, filling the reservoir twice, and then emptying the milk into the baggies I label September 21st, 1993. I know I should flush it all, but I can't make myself do it. Instead, I hold the bags for a long minute, registering their meaning before tucking them into the freezer of the small convenience unit and closing the door, and thinking only briefly about the housekeeper who will find them, or some road-strung trucker looking for ice and feeling repulsed. The milk tells a whole sordid story, though I can't imagine any stranger correctly guessing at the plot. I'm having a hard time understanding it myself, and I'm the main character. I'm writing it.